Hi, everyone. I'm Catherine Dreisdale with your Pleasure Path podcast, and I have Cale Jones here with me. He's the founder and CEO of the Moan app. It's the leading audio community for conversations about sex. I fucking love Moan. I'm so excited to have him on here. He has a background in marketing and media and worked with a sex tech brand. So welcome, welcome, Cale.
Thank you, Catherine. Happy to be here and so happy to have you on the Moan app as a featured user.
I really love what you're doing with the app. For everyone listening too, Cale and I originally met, I think, in Instagram DMs. Right?
I slid into the DMs
and we connected around the time, I think maybe right before South by Southwest. And we started hanging out, became fast friends, we're Insta besties. And it's so nice to have a community, not just like interpersonally, but also a broader community that you're creating with the app Moan, which I feel like is so important because there's not a lot of spaces that we can have like uncensored conversations around sex.
And to that point, I mean, you know, not only are we a space to have uncensored conversations around sex, you know, you'll see as well, and I mean, you've attested this also, that, you know, we're not just conversations, we're also communities. We're bringing them both together on one platform. So you're not just in an echo chamber of conversations. You get to see a really diverse group of communities, but also conversations, insights, perspectives, and kinks all in one space, and get to play around with them and learn about them, chat with the people who are into them, and maybe find some that you're into yourself.
Yeah. No, I love the importance of the building community too. And I find that within your app, like that community is there for everyone, wherever you are on the sexuality spectrum, for gender, sexual orientations, kinks, you name it. And I think it's great too that we're able to facilitate like that depth too, and actually like intimately get to know each other. Because some of the chats that are hosted on there are like anything from like midnight circle jerk to like let's learn about fisting and financial domination.
We have a really diverse community here, and I'm so happy with that and so happy about that. You know, it makes me so proud that, one, you know, we created a safe space. Well, let me back up. We have created a platform that facilitates conversations on sex in a safe and inclusive way, right? The community are the ones that are making it what it is, and they're doing that with respect and also, you know, being vulnerable. You know, they're coming on this platform and talking about the most intimate topics of their life with complete strangers. And for that, I'm just like eternally grateful, because, you know, I'm learning so much about myself, my own sexuality, but so is everyone else. You know, you think you know what you like until you hear that little, you know, thing in your ear, like, oh, wait, fisting's a thing? Or wait, cuckolding's a thing? I can do that?
I feel like cuckolding's been like this huge trend lately, like that and pegging. I've been seeing it everywhere.
Yeah, pegging is also another conversation starter on the app as well. Again, it really runs the gamut of topics. And that's what I'm really happy about too, is that, you know, we have the opportunity to explore so many different communities, and not just through your traditional sources like porn or, you know, or like Googling it, or just, you know, getting on FetLife or something, right? There's now a community where you can really talk to people in real time and connect in a whole new way. And I know there are other platforms that allow this type of conversation, this type of interaction, but they're every conversation. Their community guidelines are way different. We're just every conversation on sex, right? So you can keep all, you know, the crypto talk over here and the politics over there. We're just talking about sex.
And that's great that there's the community that's just founded straight on sex. Because I feel like so many times in society, there's not really spaces or communities in which we could do that, or we can, but it's only one part of the conversation instead of the entire conversation. And I think it's great too that within the app, like there's ability for people to like listen in as an anonymous user, private user, right, is what you call it. So
yeah,
it's
private
like
users.
if there's something that you're curious about, like I've definitely gone on as a private user to some rooms because I'm like, I don't know if I want people to know that I'm interested in this yet. Like, and I'm pretty open about like anything sex related, but I'm like, I just, do I want people to know that I'm into this? I don't know.
We don't, we built that feature out because, you know, one, we speak to the community, right? We did a lot of research before on other platforms that are out there, but also how they weren't serving this community. So their platforms existed, but they weren't built for this community. This community was co-opting these other platforms, and they were trying to make it work for them, always trying to go through the community guidelines the right way, either getting silenced or they were just, quite frankly, on a platform they didn't identify with, right? It was either too hardcore or something. And with us, we realized that, all right, we need to talk to the community, see what's not working on these other ones, and how do we build that into this one? So not only is it safe and inclusive, but also we built in features like privacy modes. So, you know, you can explore anonymously. You can, even if you do build a community here, you don't always want them in your business. So you can jump into these other rooms and you can listen to people talk about sex or masturbate or receive oral or give oral or whatever it is that's happening in that room. Then you can do so in a private mode. There are limitations on what you can do in private mode. And that's intentional because we want to keep the community safe. But we did want to ensure that there were opportunities to explore all your kinks, all your interests without outing yourself. Because as a gay man, I have been outed and it's not fun. And being out of your sexuality and your identity is one thing. Being out of your kinks is a whole other. And we really just like, we don't want to facilitate that type of experience. So privacy mode was really important to us to ensure that one, you can join anonymously. We don't fetch your contacts. We don't require you to have socials. But also if you want to take that a step further, you can and go into privacy mode and browse and lurk. So we like it.
I think it's great too because there's a lot of like featured users too and creators on your app who do operate as more anonymously. Like they still have their profile picture, but they don't necessarily show their whole identity too, which I think is great that you're able to still create that community and have those conversations without being like a public persona and like having your name, your face, your everything attached to that too. I think that's really great.
Yeah, no, I love that too because one, it allows when we remove the visual component, you know, the visual component on all the other platforms, we realize that elicits bias, that immediate bias up front. By removing that component, we really level the playing field for everyone to have a platform for expression. You know, no matter your identity, no matter your profession, no matter your, you know, your familial ties, your kinks, your abilities, whatever, right? You now have a place to come and connect with people and a platform to have. You know, a platform for expression, really, by removing that visual component. And it also makes it safer for everyone. And so, yeah, a lot, like every feature was so, we put so much time and energy and research and user feedback into to make sure that whatever we rolled out was going to serve this community and add value to it and not just be some noise and duplicate of something else.
So why, I guess, like why did you start Moan? Like why, like what was that light bulb moment that came into you creating this amazing app?
So I started this app because one, I saw that there was something missing in the marketplace and I wanted to put my skills to use, right? My background's in marketing and media and also in sex tech. I knew the struggles that were happening within this community, but also just in general around the conversations of sex. You know, talking about sex is taboo, but it shouldn't be. And there needs to be a safe and inclusive place to do that. There wasn't one. All these communities were fractured everywhere. And so I thought, well, why don't we just build one, right? Why don't we build a community where we can bring all these communities and all these conversations together onto one platform, provide a hub for these types of topics and these conversations, and really move the conversation forward. Initially, what I was wanting to do was, I mean, this kind of came from one idea of creating an event series around sexual wellness for the LGBTQ community. That then COVID hit, so then I took that idea. I was like, "How can I reframe into something else?" And you know, after iteration, I was like, "Wait, this really fits." So yeah, it was like a perfect storm of ideas and COVID and lockdown, and also me just wanting to, I wanted to be in this space. I just wasn't sure how it was going to happen. And then yeah, it did. I'm really happy that I landed where I did because I couldn't be more proud to be in the sex tech community, but also just in the sexual wellness space as well, and just in the sex space. There's so much we can do here, and so much change that we can affect, good change, positive change. And I'm excited by that. You know, when I was building out the initial framework for this and the features and trying to really identify what the mission would be. It hasn't changed since that day, which is let's provide a safe and inclusive place to talk about sex. That's really it. That's the mission. Let's do that. And the outcome is to be a resource for anyone in Middle America to the Middle East, have a place to come, chat, connect, and get real feedback, right? And we can affect global change this way by having a hub for conversations that are so important that we need to be having that we're not having. And so that's the ultimate goal is that let's affect global change in a really positive way around conversations on sex.
100%. Yeah. I love that your mission too is about like inclusivity, but inclusivity beyond just what we see here, like in the US, it's like, it's globally. And I mean, I know when I was going through my sex ed certification, I was appalled to find out that only 20 out of 50 states require sex ed to be medically accurate. So it's like, if this is the US and we're supposed to be like ahead of the curve in a lot of ways, like we are still so far behind. And when you think about other cultures and how people were raised, like just across the board, we're not really taught about sex. And if we are, most of the time, it's like abstinence only education, very heterocentric. Or we fill in with porn, and like obviously that leaves a lot of people out of the conversation. We also don't talk about like pleasure too, and so I think it's really amazing what you're doing here with this app, and yeah, providing resources for people to have information, but beyond just like, you know, going down like a Wikipedia rabbit hole. It's like, you get to actually like ask questions to people who are like in the community and build those connections and like facilitate conversations and just like learn more. Like I know last week you invited me to a chat with Dr. Evan Goldstein with the Future Method about like, I think anal sex. I was like, I'm not really interested in anal. Like, I'll join, sure. Like, let me just like listen passively while I'm lounging by the pool. But I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense why I don't enjoy anal sex, because like I do it like once in a while, or like even though there's like 2 hours of like rim jobs and like fingering, like of course that's not gonna be full pleasurable if it's just one time every like 6 months, 2 years, whatever. Like it's something that's gonna take time, and I've never once been like, let me just take some time to stimulate my asshole. I've never once been like, let me just do that.
Well, with that said, I think what's really great about what we're doing, quite frankly, is that we can talk about pleasure here, and we include pleasure in sexual wellness. There's a lot of apps, a lot of communities out there. They're either on one side where it's strictly educational. That's what they do. Or they're porn. There's also pleasure in between, right? Like we can also talk about pleasure and how that affects our physical health, our mental health, and our sexual and just our well-being overall, right? I mean, sex is also supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be pleasurable. It's not just for making babies and the anatomical stuff that comes along with that, right? Like there are things that we can talk about outside of, here's what the vagina looks like, and here's what the penis looks like, and this is what they do together, right? Like, there's a lot more that we can do with those parts and that we are doing that we should talk about and have fun with doing it, right? And do it in a way that, releases shame. We've had chats on here, and I think it's Brene Brown. She's not on the app yet. But, I think one of her sayings is that shame thrives in silence. If we provide a platform where shame does not exist because we do not shame it, and we can speak power to our interests, our truths, our identities, our sexualities, things we want, it's powerful. And we can really affect some change there. Again, there are resources out there that have academic, clinical, static information. By all means, if it's medically accurate, go for it, right? But there's more to sex than just that. And there are communities out there now like Moan where you can explore those.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. And I love that you said like about shame too, because I feel like for a lot of people, like obviously sexual orientation, gender expression, and like kinks all go into that too. And so I think especially for people like I am a hetero-ish, like woman. So it's like I'm a cis white woman who likes men. So even though I'm sexually open-minded, I still fit in this one sort of dynamic. And so for people who identify like differently, like I think it's so important to have spaces and communities where you're able to connect with other people and have those conversations and like deepen those connections and release the shame of like being different or having different interests.
Yeah, I mean, anything outside of heteronormativity is already an otherness, right? It's already an otherness. And especially vanilla heteronormativity, right? Like anything outside of PNV sex is otherness. And so a lot of people do other stuff besides strictly PNV sex. And I think, with that said, I think there needs to be a space for those people and those conversations. And there is a space, that's not everyone. It's like our sexuality is just, or at least our where we are on the sexual continuum, right? It's really kind of, you can go from very vanilla virgin to, full on, I get fisted every day. And there's a lot of room there. And you need to have a space to figure that out. And I think, that's what we're doing. I'm really happy about that. So yeah.
Yeah, I think too, with that, also just to hop on that too, is like you might have some vanilla interest like one day, and then tomorrow you want to be gang banged by 50 people, or
Who
like
doesn't?
masturbate at a sex club and just have
Who
people
doesn't?
watch, or you know, meet a stranger in a bar and have kinky sex on some random person's car in an alleyway. I've done that actually.
Yeah. I mean, to that point though, there's a lot of, I think a lot of people are fearful of their sexuality because they think that once you do one thing, that is your identity. Just because you suck one dick does not make you gay, right? If you're a straight man, you suck a dick. That does not make you gay. Action does not make you gay, right? And I think there's people are scared to explore their sexuality because there's a lot out there and a lot of stuff that can be fun and it is fun. Some stuff may not be for you. A lot of stuff won't be. And I think people are, again, they're scared thinking that once they do one thing, they're now in a lifestyle that they have to pursue or they have to do it in a certain way, the right way. And really, sex is still just fun as long as it's consensual and ethical, and you're communicating and you're coming at it, in the right way. And the right way really is like what's right for you. And that's, again, that's consensual, that's ethical, that's legal. Like there's all these things. There's not a lot of things you need. I feel at least exploring your sexuality doesn't need to be that difficult as long as you come at it with that framework. Right. Everything else is, it's kind of open to you, and you should be able to have fun exploring it, and not be scared that just because you do one thing, now you're that. Right.
100%. Yeah, I feel like we need to give ourselves more permission to just explore and discover ourselves, just like we do when we go through like a mental health struggle, right? A midlife crisis, a quarter life crisis, you know, we're trying to figure out what we want, who we are. Our part of our sexuality can be our identity, but it also can be lifestyle, or it can be a phase in certain aspects. Like maybe we're in a phase where we just want casual sex and now we want more intimacy. Like, as long as we give ourselves like permission to grow and change and evolve throughout this journey and everything safe and consensual, then like just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean,
Literally. Hop on
right.
that
Get a nut. No,
dick and enjoy.
we I had a chat with this older gentleman the other day on the app, and it was just a few of us in there, and I found it so fascinating because oftentimes, again, people get so caught up in doing one thing, and then they become this lifestyle, right? And this guy was really kind of bucking a lot of that because he was saying that, he and his wife, they've been together for a number of years. They have been able to open up their relationship a bit in a cuckolding style dynamic. And I know we're coming back to cuckolding, but oftentimes this is a relationship lifestyle or dynamic that, a lot of people don't understand, but also they feel they need to get really into it, right? Like once you do it once, that's what they are. And that's fine. Fine, fully support that. But this man specifically was like, no, I have been cucked by my wife. We've done it a few times. It's been fun.
but it's not, and we have nothing against it, but we're not a cuckold lifestyle. We're not in a cuckold relationship. And I think, you know, again, that's how maybe I think is a healthy way to approach a lot of things. Dip your toe and see if you like it. If you like it, keep doing it. And then, you know, claim that lifestyle if you want, you know, claim that sexual lifestyle that you want, that dynamic that you want, if you enjoy it. But, you know, you don't have to be that lifestyle or that identity just because you do one thing one time or even a few times.
It's a very common fantasy that people have, and it's more prevalent than you think it is.
Dr. David Lay wrote something about it, but also one of our featured users, I think she was the one who mentioned to me that it was like one of the most popular porn search topics in the last 4 years. Like it's really gaining popularity and just like different communities, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting too is one of the most popular fantasies is group sex across the board.
Really? Okay.
Group sex, specifically threesomes. And that's the consistent fantasy. Also consensual, non-consent. So like trigger warning, that's like essentially like a rape dynamic, although it's not because everything's agreed upon. And I think actually this would be a great segue into how like kink and BDSM space, like to maybe more vanilla society or people who are not as open sexually, think that the kink lifestyle is very, I don't know, like dangerous in a way and like harmful. But in reality, I feel like the people who are within this community, it's founded on a like basis of trust, communication, and boundaries, which I feel like is lacking in so many conversations around sex across the board, especially in heterocentric like norm dating, like in dating apps. Like until I started exploring sort of like more of the scene and the BDSM like lifestyle aspects, I'd never really had full conversations with my partners about like what exactly I'm into, what are my boundaries, what are my hard limits, like what do I need for aftercare. And something that's really important too, like if you are someone who is like getting into like a scene, for example, scene is what you call like a sexual act, like with whoever's involved, whether it's one or multiple people, it's like you basically decide this is exactly what's going to happen. This is what it's going to look like. Obviously give room for flow, but everyone agrees upon everything before it happens. And consent is at the forefront. Consent and safety is at the forefront. And I think there are other, I don't know, instances in the media where like that part of the lifestyle is not portrayed, especially around like, I don't know if you remember when like 50 Shades of Grey came out. And like, that's actually when I first started doing my deep dive into kink. I was like, I was so fascinated. I'm like, I'm going to research the shit out of this. I'm like, what does this actually look like? Because this seems like emotional abuse and physical abuse. And like, it kind of is. Like the way that it's portrayed, especially in the movie, is like even worse than the book. But it's just like, that's not it. But also with that too, it's like, going back to being able to like flow within dynamics and try and experiment too, like you can want a certain vibe within a certain day. Like maybe you're feeling more dominant today, so you want to tie up your partner, but naturally you're more submissive or enjoy receiving. Like you can switch things up day to day. Like some people identify as like, okay, I am just a dom and this is who I am. Versus like, oh, let's just play and be experimental and like see what happens.
You know, of course, and I agree with all of that. You know, I mean, to be clear, I'm not a sexual educator or, you know, a sex professional in any way, but I think, you know,
sex enthusiast.
I'm a sex enthusiast. Exactly. But I think, you know, for me, you know, it's like we have three pillars on Moan, and one of them is education. So we have over 200 experts that's been on the app. More than that, probably, that we can identify. So education is really important to us, right? So you have doctors, therapists, coaches, PhDs, like MBs, DOs, like everyone there talking about sex in a really healthy way. But then we also have a really healthy casual way. And we also have the communication pillar, which is getting to what I was just talking about a moment ago, which is you don't have to be an expert to talk about sex. Mm-hmm. You know, I still believe that you should still be able to talk about sex without a PhD. I think it's very important that we have a platform where we can express ourselves and communicate our needs without necessarily having all the right words, or, you know, without, quite frankly, without fear of being canceled, as long as it's in a sex positive manner, right? We're not always going to write words. We may not always have the right language, or, you know, maybe we're here to learn. I think it's just, for me, again, someone who's not a sex educator, I don't know everything. I don't. I'm just the founder. I want to know more, and I want to connect communities. I'm curious, and I know a lot of the people are too. And so all I'm really doing is providing the platform, adding my voice when I can, listening when I should, and really just trying to bring these communities together. So yeah, I guess what I was trying to say a minute ago was that, you know, there is no right way, or at least for me, to have sex in terms, I guess it comes back to being, or finding my identity or claiming identity. It's really about, you know, quite frankly, being consensual, ethical, communicative, et cetera. And this community has really helped me with that a lot. Just one, being able to communicate what I want, my needs, but also knowing that like things I have done are not super, super taboo or super weird. A lot of people have done them as well. And to that, the last thing I'll say on that, in terms of identity and finding identity, you know, I did, in a way, find my identity through this app, through this community. And a lot of it is due to the communication. I mean, I found out, I now have words to how I define myself. I didn't have that before. My words, my identity now is sexually fluid, homoromantic. I had no idea that was a series of words you would put together, identities you would put together. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful to it all. And again, so just coming at it ethically, communicatively, and positively, it's good.
Yeah, no, I think that's great too, because I think like having conversations around sex and these open conversations around sex, like, gives us permission to understand ourselves better. And I think, you know, everyone has different opinions on like whether labels are helpful and or hurtful. But I think it just depends on like how you see it too. And sometimes it can be helpful to be like, okay, like this is actually something that I identify with and I'm not alone. And so when we normalize like talking about these things in a certain way, it can make it easier to have conversations with people who are maybe outside of the sex space. It can make it easier to have conversations like with yourself and with our partners too, because the more that we're able to normalize these conversations and not be so triggered by them and not internalize and release back to releasing the shame. So I feel like a lot of the times it's like the shame is what keeps us in like the sex closet, regardless of, you know, sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, any of that. And so the more we're able to normalize like having these conversations, like the less shame takes hold. And so even if like there's something that you're just interested in that you want to explore, but you're like, I don't know, like read about it, listen, like ask questions. You might find that it's not for you and that's okay, but like it might lead you to something else. And like that's totally okay.
There's so much out there in the world that I'm not into, but there's so much I am. And that only really comes from exploring and talking about it and really like removing the shame from what you may have interest in, right? Like, I mean, there's so much out there and you should allow yourself the permission to explore and not limit yourself. Because I mean, listen, sex is not everything, but some people it is. And you know, it's still very important to everyone. So I think, you know, I think, you know, you need to give yourself that permission to explore.
Mm-hmm. And I think regardless of, you know, whether you're more extroverted or introverted too, like, I mean, I've been very sexually open. I started having sex at 14. And so even though I was like exploring and experimenting and doing a lot of crazy things, like my first threesome, I was 15. Actually, my first sexual experience was I was fingered by two guys. At 14 in a empty classroom. But anyways, that's probably why I like group sex. Probably. But anyways, So even though like I was sexually open and exploring, it's like I still grew up in a family where it was very sex negative. I got to the point where I am because I experimented, I explored, but I'm just like imagining, it's like, what would my life look like now had I had a community like this to have conversations around? And like, even my friends, like growing up, like I would talk about masturbating, and even still to this day, they're like, why did you bring it up? They'd be like, what did you do today? And I'm like, grocery shop. I masturbated. I did this. I did that. And they're like, why? And I'm like, you asked me what I did. Like, why should I feel shame around my self-pleasure practice? Like, what?
Like, you know, maybe who I am.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I was like, really? Like, maybe you should rub one out. Like,
yeah, I mean, again, I think, like, you know, shame, as you said, shame breeds in silence. That thrives in silence, breeds.
yeah, that's another kink I'm into.
The breeding kink.
Breeding kink. Yes, like, can someone just like give me their seed, please? I really want to be pregnant.
I have a seed order.
Casting call. Casting call. Email me, link in bio. I'm not kidding. I sometimes, you know, walk to mirrors and I like put out the belly and I'm like, oh, I would look so cute.
Little Catherine.
Yeah, I want twins.
But you know, here's the thing. It's you're putting it out there, you know. And I think that's what's important, is that speaking, there's power and your voice and using it. You can read all the forums you want. You can, you know, hide behind the keyboard and type all kinds of comments on different platforms. You can do that. But there's so much more power in actually speaking what you want and saying it. And I think, you know, that kind of ties into a lot of like your practices too, Catherine. You know, like really like the communication aspect, but also, you know, a lot of the manifesting, a lot of stuff you do in your practice that, you know, it's, yes, there's journaling, but also saying it out loud gives power to it. And I think that's what's really, really interesting too on Moan, at least for me and a lot of other people. We've had users come out on this platform for the first time, not only for their sexuality, but also their kinks. People talk about things they've never shared with anyone else, because like, again, you can put it on a forum, but that just opens you up to trolls. It's out there. It's not the same as actually fucking saying it. And someone who's come out before, you know, someone who's actually had to say, yes, I'm gay, you know, that is a, that takes balls, you know? And so I think that's also kind of one of the things we have that's special at Moan, is that in this community, is that if you're going to commit to being an asshole, you're going to have to actually request the mic and say it. You can't just hide behind the keyboard and say something awful. You actually need to come up there, own it, and say it. And then you get blocked. But, you know, that takes a lot more balls than just, you know, saying something awful on a keyboard, you know, in a forum. So yeah, there's power in it. And I think that, you know, we should all take that opportunity to, you know, own our power and speak our truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really love too, because it's like, I feel like there's a degree of intimacy within the app. It's like, even though you don't see who the people are, it's all audio based, but it's like, we're able to connect with people in such a deep way to where people do feel comfortable expressing and sharing and coming out in whatever capacity. And I think that's not something I've seen in really any space where there's that degree of comfortability there. And like, I haven't really come across anyone's like super rude. For the most part, it's all been very nice. And supportive conversations. And I think it's great that you have this intimacy in this community and in this space as it continues to grow too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we ensured that our values and our community guidelines were really clear upon the onboarding process, which I think helps kind of set the tone for the community and what we expect here. And that is, you know, kind of overview is no homophobia, no transphobia, no racism, no bigotry, no harassment of any kind will be tolerated, amongst other things. But upfront, that's what we say. But then we take that a step further. You have to actually click and agree to that. The second community guideline is understanding that there may be conversations here that you find offensive or things that are just not right for you, by all means, that's fine. Report it if you think it goes against community guidelines. However, just because you don't like it or it's not a kink for you or it's not something you're interested in, doesn't mean we're going to kick them off the platform. You know, and I think that's also really important, that just because it's not, you know, everyday kink that you're used to or you're comfortable with, doesn't mean it's against our community guidelines. I mean, we have a lot of different communities here that come on here and you know, talk about what they're into, but also give us some insight into it, you know, opposed mm-hmm. to just passing judgment up front. I mean, one aspect of that is, again, the cuckold. Another one is the furry community, right? Mm-hmm. We have the furry community on here as well, like really providing deep insights to, you know, what it is to be a furry and furry fandom and all of this. And, you know, it's really just, again, the way that we keep this community positive is through our community guidelines, but also just through our community in general, you know, and we put that very clearly up front. And again, we don't make it hypersexualized either. You know, that also mm-hmm. it takes it down to a different notch, you know, it elevates it, but also takes that, like, kind of that, I don't know, that over hypersexual feeling away. Yes, we're still talking about sex. Sometimes there's people receiving oral on the platform, but it's not an
act. I'm so mad I missed that chat.
I was like,
that was the biggest clam jam of my life, man.
It was well attended.
Yeah, of course I got to dinner like before. Yeah, I was so mad. Like, damn.
You know, I just keep wondering, like, when am I going to make my debut?
Yeah.
The founder of Moan doing X, Y, and Z. Oh god.
Yeah. I bet people would pay for that. Monetize that shit. Monetize that shit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Listen, we'll see. Once we hit like 100,000 users, here, Kel, suck a dick.
Love it.
Tune in at 7 p.m.
That's so funny. Yeah, I received a DM from someone the last like week or so, like asking for advice on how to like swallow cum and like deep throat. And I'm like, I'm not the one, sis. Like, it's not for me, but you know, good luck.
See, the trick is, no, my room starts at 7 p.m. tonight, I'll tell you.
I would love to deep throw. I'm just like, my gag reflex is so bad. I'm like, I've literally thrown up on someone's dick before.
Oh no.
I've never seen a guy more turned off that quickly. Like, there are not many things that you could do that's gonna turn someone off. Like,
for me,
yeah,
it's not even the vomit. Like, I'm pretty vanilla, and I've said this on the app a ton of times. I've told you this as well. Like, I have had so much fun. I still have so much fun. I'm a self-proclaimed slut, you know, like that's, I've had so much fun in my life. And I continue to do it. And I hope I do. But it's still pretty vanilla, by a lot of standards. And so for me, it's like, this is also a way for me to kind of like learn about new things that I may be interested in. But I mean, going back to like, you know, things that turn me off. I mean, in terms of aura, I mean, I'm so vanilla that even like slimy spit.
You know, oh yeah, like, I hate that.
Like, get it off me.
I had someone spit in my mouth once and I kicked him out. I was like, I did not, like, no, sorry, I'm not the one. I am not the one. Like, I know a lot of people are into this, but like, not me. No, sorry,
I'm not the one.
I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm pretty vanilla, and I listen, I'm proud to be vanilla. Listen, if that changes or whatever, but you know,
there's nothing wrong with vanilla.
Yeah. I mean, listen, vanilla for me is like no more than 5 people in the bedroom at once. and you know, if you're going to do it in public, make sure it's at night or in a beach or a lake.
Yeah. Some nature backdrop.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I find it funny though, that, you know, how vanilla, I really kind of consider myself, in heteronormative terms, fuck no, I'm not. But on the other end of the kink spectrum, fuck yeah, I am. So it's funny to have an app and a community, leading a community and building a community when I'm like somewhere in the middle. And yeah, as long as, yeah, I think it's just really interesting.
Yeah, I will say too, like it's interesting being a sex coach, and sex educator. And even though like I obviously like I grew up experimenting, I did a lot of crazy stuff, and I was like the most wild out of all of my friends. But it's yeah, like the deeper I go into the sex community, the more I'm like, okay, wait, I'm more vanilla than a lot of the kinksters, but I'm like super kinky compared to a lot of the vanilla people. So I'm just like, what? But it's all subjective too. And I think that that's so important that we realize too, is like the more that we learn, grow, evolve, and like experiment, like that's beautiful. We don't have to define it. We don't have to like put a label on it. And like there's nothing wrong with vanilla, just like there's nothing wrong with kink. As long as everything is safe and consensual, like that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, we say on the app a lot, and one of our users kind of introduced me to this, which is don't yuck someone else's yum, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So we have a strict policy as well as no shaming, no kink shaming whatsoever. As long as it's safe, saying consensual, you can disagree, you can offer up your opinion, but it needs to be in a sex positive way, right? You can't be like, oh, that's gross. Like, no, come on, child, grow up, you know, grow up. That's not how we talk to each other about, you know, sex and kinks. So that's not tolerated. And think, you know, that makes me happy too, that, you know, we can foster this community where people do speak to each other respectfully. And that's how we learn, honestly, whether it's about sex or other things. If we can't speak to each other with respect and as adults, whether it's about sex or whether it's about policy, you know, we're never going to get anywhere. And so that's why, and also if we stay within our own communities, we're never going to learn anything. You know, there's so much out there. And I mean, and you know, part of the, you know, when building up Moan, and like one of the ideas that I had for Moan, and something I was really excited about was the idea that, one, again, moving the conversation forward. And you know, we learn, and you can understand this too, is that, you know, there are so many issues within all these different communities, right? Within the LGBTQIA community, there are so many issues. I mean, there's racism, there's transphobia, there's internalized homophobia, there's all kinds of issues that we don't talk about outside of our communities. And so our allies have no idea what's going on, and like we don't ever move the conversation forward because it's shameful within our own community that we're marginalizing our own community that's already marginalized. But then extrapolate that and think about, you know, within the heterosexual community, within the you know, within the Latinx community, within the Black community. And there's so many issues that, you know, when it comes to sex, that are siloed in our own communities, then when we don't share those ideas, when we don't open it up outside of our own communities, it's hard to really move it forward and affect change. And that's really what I'm excited about, is that, you know, we've had conversations where there are men, straight hetero men in the Black community, as well as the LGBTQ community, coming together and talking about homophobia that exists within its own community, right? And that's something that I didn't have insight to. And they're coming together, talking about how they can fix it and their issues, and providing insight that's really deep and really interesting. And it's not just within the Black community. We've had it within like the white community, the cuckolding community, Latinx, you know, LGBTQIA, the trans community. We've had so many important discussions outside our own comfort zones that have moved this conversation, this community forward, and brought us closer. And
Do you want to share a little bit more about sort of like your personal sexuality journey and sort of maybe even to like to take that further, like what conversations you wish that you were a part of throughout your journey, especially like youth, I guess.
yeah, so my sexuality and my sexual journey has been a journey. You know, I grew up in a very sex positive household. You know, my parents were very open in terms of the way they spoke about sex, sexuality as well. They had gay friends. You know, so it wasn't anything that was ever really foreign to me. It wasn't everything that was like sex wasn't a topic that we didn't discuss. There was off limits, right? It's not like we were just sitting on talking about sex all day, but you know, my mom was very, very vocal and very big proponent of sexuality, talking about sex, and making sure that we had the knowledge we needed to navigate, at least in an early age, or enough knowledge to navigate it in a safe way. You know, from condom usage to pregnancy to, you know, if you are gay, blah, blah, blah. You know, there were these conversations, and not necessarily trying to, you know, the way she went about it was really great, I think. Honestly, I'm so grateful to my mother and just my family in general, the way that we were raised. But still, I didn't come out until later. It's so strange that, like, you know, I grew up in a family that was so open, so accepting, and was very sex positive. Yet, you know, because of the world we live in, quite frankly, you know, you never really know how outside influences will impact your internal relationships, right? So even though my parents were, you know, they were sex positive, they were open, they were very cool about everything, I still wasn't sure that, like, they would be cool that their son was gay, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if your son's gay, and if you're gay, that's fine. But my son, you know, and so I was really worried about that, because I've heard horror stories. And, you know, still, I mean, listen, I'm 36, you know, I came out late at 23, 24, something like that. But still, you know, growing up, you know, we weren't as open as we are now. You know, like, we weren't as accepting as we are now. Thankfully, we've moved to a whole new space and a whole new, you know, a whole new acceptance of everything. But yeah, so that's how I grew up. It was very open, very positive. But still, I wasn't confident enough to come out, and I wasn't sure to come out until later in life. So yeah, as an adult, you know, I wish that I had conversations. I wish I could have conversations, or I did have conversations with people around sexuality like this. So I felt more comfortable. But again, you know, I think a lot of it comes to timing. Right now, we're in a time like never before. And I know that's easy to say, but when in terms of sexuality and conversations, you know, we are really, as much bullshit that's coming at us from reproductive health to, you know, don't say gay bills or whatnot, the overall culture, we're still moving forward. I feel the conversations are still happening. So timing's everything. So even if a space like this did exist when I was looking to come out, I'm not sure I would have used it, because again, like, that's not where we were. I feel, mm-hmm. You know, we still, like, sex was still taboo to talk about. Even if it's happening in my family, it was fine. But yeah. So that's how I grew up. My sexual journey, though, you know, from, you know, I've kind of known I was gay since, I have known that I was gay since I was a boy, like, very young, very, very, very young, like, single digits. And yeah, but I went from knowing that to, you know, I played sports. I was in this whole, you know, I was that sports kid, right? I played basketball, played track, and all that stuff, very athletic. And so I just kind of, like, buried a lot of that because, one, it wasn't safe to come out. And then so I was with women, I was with men, but primarily women for a very long time. Then I started experimenting with men in college, and then, you know, then went traveling and was really, I went traveling for a very long time. I saved up a lot of money and went traveling. And on that trip, I was like, all right, I'm going to explore my sexuality. That's what I'm going to do. Entire fucking time I was with women. Like, what? Except for when I got to Lisbon, and that's when I had my big epiphany, and it was actually with a man for the first time. And that fucked me up mentally. It's like, oh god, I confirmed it. I like it. My sexual journey really has gone from, you know, knowing I was gay to suppressing it, you know, dating women, to sleeping with women, to, you know, toying with the idea of being with men, to fantasizing, to acting on it, then going right back to women because I was terrified of what that meant, and started dating women again. And then, yeah, so it really went from straight to bi to gay, 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 you know. So the evolution really was, it wasn't overnight. It took some time. It's so strange, too. It's so strange to know that my sexuality, my sexual journey took the time it did. One, I'm happy. I'm very happy with my life and the way it has unfolded, especially in terms of sex. But yeah, you know, knowing that I grew up in a sex positive household and I had the freedoms to explore and didn't, and was terrified of it. And yeah, that's how I kind of came to be my gay self.
I think, like, thank you for sharing, first of all. And I feel like that's making me think of, too, it's like, regardless of how we identify, like, sexuality wise, like, we have to feel comfortable and safe within our own bodies first before we're comfortable exploring. And I think that goes to show too with your personal like discovery journey, as I'm sure like a lot of other people too, it's like it takes a lot of work to even realize, okay, like this is how I feel internally, but it doesn't feel safe in my body, so I'm not ready to even talk about it or act on it. And it's like we have to go through like these little checkpoints. And it made me reflect too on, we were talking about this, I don't know if it was like yesterday or the day before, but like I had a period in high school where I like my first kiss was with a girl, and I thought I was interested in women, but I was always rejected. And so I even wonder now at 28, I'm like, do I have internalized homophobia that's been suppressed because I didn't feel safe because I was rejected? And so now automatically I only go to men. Is that a thing? Is it also like, I grew up in a family that was very sex negative. And like, I remember this one time my dad sat us down. I forget what the context was, but this stuck with me. He was like, I'm so glad none of you are gay. And I like was like, what the fuck? And then recently, so damaging. And I think I must have been in like high school at the time. And then recently, my mom has been saying all this like shit about like bi people and how they're like awful and HIV and all this shit. And I was just like, what if I were bi? And she'd be like, this isn't about you. I'm like, but you're making judgments on a group of people that you know nothing about. And just because one person is one way doesn't mean that everyone is this whole way. And so, yeah, I feel like that's made me reflect too on like, is my sexuality that I'm outwardly expressing actually how I feel or not? I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, it's a good question. Again, because I was fortunate enough, or maybe not. I don't know if it's fortunate, but.
Because you grew up here in Texas too. And so yeah. Texas is very conservative too. So yeah. Even though you had the family dynamic where it was safe, it's like your community beyond that, maybe it wasn't.
Exactly. But again, totally. And again, I feel very fortunate that I knew I was gay early on, but also like, fuck, man, you know, like you had this, that there was such a long process to get, you know, like when you know you're one way, and it took so many years, decades to finally actually act on it. That sucks. You know, that's a gift and fortunate to know that you are a one way. And I've never take away the experiences I've had in the life I've had, 'cause I'm very happy with, you know, with experience that I had, good and bad. But, you know, like, you know, you have to sometimes think, like, I'm so happy that I know who I am and like, at the core, and I've known it for so long. But I was like, fuck, you know, like being able to have an opportunity to express that fully, comfortably. It sucks that it has to be such a journey, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping now that, you know, again, the way the culture is kind of moving, except for a couple bullshit bills coming through, you know.
Get me started.
Yeah, that we're actually able to allow people to really express themselves early on. I talked to a friend of mine who's also gay, and you know, he was really kind of emotional about. I never really thought about it this way. I haven't put too much thought into it. Maybe that's just who I am. But you know, he was saying that he was so moved and so happy to see all these like seniors and high school kids on TikTok going to school openly gay and going to prom with their partners, right? And like how amazing that is, that that's where we are today, that you don't have to be scared to be with your boy or have a boyfriend in high school if you're gay, and or a girlfriend, and take them to the dance or to prom. Mm-hmm. And also be able to share that on a platform with the world, you know.
Yeah,
that's incredible that that's where we are right now. My friend was very emotional seeing this, because he was like, this got robbed from us. You know, I wish I was able to have a boyfriend, you know, growing up. Instead, I was either lonely or dating women, you know, to try to cover it up. And now it's open. And I think that's really fucking great. But again, you know, going back to what I said earlier, it's, you never really know, like knowing who you are early on is such a great thing, but also not being able to express it for so long, that's fucking awful. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Those who are gay, bi, trans, you know, like that identity, mm-hmm. being able to live who you are, and not having the opportunity to do so. When you know at your core who you are, that being repressed is just so fucking difficult. So yeah, I feel very, again, so I'm very happy with the way that I was brought up, the way my sexuality has evolved. But yeah, sometimes I wish it didn't take so long.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, I mean, looking back, what do you think you needed in order to feel safe to express yourself?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult because, you know, I think it was just overall, like, where I grew up, you know, mm-hmm. Texas, also, I grew up in Texas, and also the times we were in, you know, I hate to emphasize that so much, but we were just different times. And so if a 15, 16, 17 year old was like, yeah, I'm gay, it's like, you're gonna get your ass kicked. You know, that's just what it is. If not asking, you're gonna get harassed, right? Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't, yeah, it just wasn't, I guess what I would have needed was, quite frankly, 20 years in the future or a bigger city.
Yeah. And I think that goes to show too, is like our environment is hugely a factor. Like obviously like your community, your inner circle, like whether it's family, friends, like caretakers, your school, whatever, like that's one aspect, but environment in terms of like geography, like where you're located. Cause like I grew up with a lot of gay friends. One in particular, like we became besties. Instant besties, because that's just who I am. I either click with you right away and like you're mine for life, or can't sit with us. Like there's no in between. And I remember like we became friends because I found his MySpace back in the MySpace days. We're in seventh grade, and I like sent him a message and I was like, you're really hot. And he's like, I'm gay. I'm like, that's okay, we'll be best friends. And like that was amazing. But I remember too, even in that journey, even though he was so secure in his sexuality and knowing his identity, and like his family was very supportive, I also grew up in California, Northern California, and obviously a huge gay community there. And so that's just
a beacon of repression.
Yeah. But even what's interesting too, is like, even with my family, and that just like goes to show like the environment that I was raised in, the homophobia in my family, it's like my dad was still afraid that one day he would change his mind and we would have sex. So like there was a no boys upstairs policy for a long time. Not even open door. And then he started coming on like family vacations with us because he was like my best friend. And he was like, there's a boys room and a girls room. But then I was like, oh, so who's going to share a bed with Nick? Is it you or Joy, brother? And he was like, and it's just like when he inserted himself in the situation, it made him feel uncomfortable. But it's just like, anyone with any sexual orientation, you're not automatically attracted to everyone who is that gender just because that's how you identify. And so that was like what switched in his mind to be like, okay, you guys could share a bed. But still, like 8 years later, he was like, well, have you? And I'm like, no, it's never going there. Like, never, not once. Like, has he seen me naked? Many times. He helped me put on sticky boobs to get ready for prom once. Like, yeah, no.
I love that. It's funny that what you're saying, that just because you are, you know, say I'm gay, doesn't mean I'm into all men, especially straight men. I mean, there is a trend where straight men just don't even wash their ass in the shower. Like,
it's
no,
so disgusting.
I don't find that attractive. I don't
know. Like, just wipe your ass. Like,
just please wipe your ass. There was actually, I think, a thread on Reddit about this, and also people on Moan were talking about it as well. And there was just like, there was this escort who was talking about, like, a companion or a sex worker. She was telling us that one of our straight male clients, she met up with him, and he left like shit streaks all over the hotel sheets because he didn't wipe his ass. So like she'd be riding him, and that's how bad it was. He didn't even wipe his ass. But like he would lay on white sheets, and there were shit streaks on that.
See, like that's exactly like
wrong with people.
Well, so that's exactly why, like, I'm only interested in receiving a rim job and not giving it, because most straight men don't have good hygiene. And that's just like, and I've fucked enough men to know that, that's just what it is. Obviously, people are going to say, like, not all men, but, like, a lot of you guys need to, like, fucking step it up.
A lot of men. And again, not going to yuck anyone's yum. If people are into, like,
some people are into scat play, and that's okay.
Fine. Not for me.
Not my kink. Not my kink.
There needs to be consent around it. Watch your ass if you're coming near me.
Yeah, no, like, I'm the type of person where, like, I will jump in the shower literally right before the person comes over. And, like, that's the same expectation I have for my partner, too. It's, like, hygiene's important. Like, let's just not, yeah, let's not go there. Oh, but before we dive into that, too, like, back to sort of, like, environment, too. I think, like, geography, yes. And also, like, when we are away from the people in our lives who know a version of ourselves, I feel like in some ways it gives us permission to explore more. Like you were saying, when you were traveling a bunch and that, like, that was the moment where you decided, okay, now's the time for me to actually explore. Like, that's what helped you feel safe. And I know for me, like, that's part of why I moved here to Austin. Like, of course, it's like Texas, really? Like, why am I in Texas, like, going on my, like, sex journey? But it's, like, I needed to get away from my environment in order to embrace who I am instead of a version of myself that I needed to be a performative version for these people in my life. And I think that's an important thing just for anyone, like, listening who is on your own, like, discovery journey, is, like, sometimes your environment needs to change because the people in your life might not support who you actually are. And that's okay. You might lose people. And then yeah. You gain really amazing people. It's like me moving here. I connected with you. I've met a lot of so many sex positive people. And it's funny being here in Texas. You're like, what? It's yeah. So backwards in a lot of ways. But it's like, sometimes we just, like, we need to release what's not for us in order to create that community that we actually want.
No, you're so right. I mean, you know, I was able to travel. I'm really fortunate about that as well. But big travel, like, you know, trying to figure out who I was and sexually and whatnot. And again, like, removing myself from my current environment, even though it was positive, I still just need, it wasn't going to allow me to explore who I needed to be or who I wanted to be, really. And so I did that. And then also I had the chance to do it again. And, you know, in terms of really embracing wholeheartedly, like, my sexuality, being a gay man, you know, my ex-partner was, is a Danish man. And so I lived in Copenhagen for a number of years. And being so far removed from, you know, where I grew up, the people I knew, in a whole new environment, a whole new city, I was really able to explore who I was and own who I was and feel confident and comfortable in who I was. And that takes a lot. Again, it shouldn't have to take this much, but it did for me, and I'm happy I had the experience to do it and the opportunity to do it. But, you know, as you said, sometimes you do need to remove yourself from your current environment to grow the way you need to grow in your own identity, your own sexuality, your own journey. Because even if you are around really great people and they've done nothing wrong necessarily towards you, if you don't feel safe or comfortable to be who you really are, you need to find a place to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy. And for me, again, I left Austin for over a decade almost, you know, like, or a little over a decade, I believe, overall. And, you know, I traveled the world. I lived in different cities, like big cities. And I came back a whole different person, not just because I traveled, because I really got to explore who I was and know who I was. And yeah, this time in Austin feels different. And that also, like, this time it also feels different, but also not only because of what I'm doing for work, but also just who I am and how confident I feel in myself. And also confident enough that, yeah, fuck it. We're developing an app to talk about sex. You know why? Because we fucking need it. Mm-hmm. it's as simple as that now for me, you know? It's like, oh, I was kind of worried about really kind of getting into the sex space because there is so much taboo around it professionally. Right? It's not just a cultural conversation that people tiptoe around. Professionally, like, you don't know what that's going to do to you. And so I was hesitant and had my reservations about it. But after getting into, after understanding the need and knowing the impact that we could have when done right, fuck it. That's what we're doing. You know, and it takes confidence in yourself, your sexuality, but also who you are, and also a safe space and a safe environment to do that. And I'm so happy that I have it all. I have all those elements.
Yeah. And it's funny. I feel like with sex, it's like, I know my whole family was part of why I moved here is because most of my family wasn't supportive and they're like, but it's just like, cause that's like, once you work in sex, it's like, that's your path. You're like, okay, I'm going fucking full steam ahead. Like when I changed everything on my LinkedIn to sex, I was like, I'm not going back from here. If I'm talking about masturbating on LinkedIn, like, this is it for me. So yeah. It's like, but it's funny that something so taboo is something that everyone does. Like if you think about, obviously not every single person, because there's other ways that you can create babies, but like most of us are here because of sex.
Yeah. I've talked to different different investors and different people. They're like, oh, it's so cool that you're like really serving this like niche audience. I'm like,
what do you mean niche? Everyone has sex.
People are a product of it. Literally, it touches every single person alive right now and dead. we are all a product of this. And so niche is not really how I describe sex, but mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, next.
I think it's really interesting when I've received that, like, oh, I love this like really niche play you're doing. I'm like, I don't know. Have you ever masturbated? Yeah. Okay. Well, you're part of the community. You are our demo. You know, if you have touched yourself or you have had sex or you're a product of sex or you want to have sex or someone you know has had sex, you're our demo. So I think it's really interesting when we get that feedback. Cause again, it's not niche at all. I don't think sex is niche at all. I think the taboo nature of it has made the conversation in niche circles. But once we remove that stigma, it's fucking open.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Even those who identify more on like the asexuality spectrum too, I feel like having conversations around sex can help you feel more comfortable in where you are on that spectrum. Because it's like, even if you don't actually have those desire to have sex, it's like maybe having this community can help you feel more safe and secure in your belief system, in your desires, and like not feel pressured by society to perform in a certain way. And so, and yeah, also, regardless of who you are.
And also it can give you the language you need to really feel confident in your identity. You know, I just learned something the other day, which was what a side was. You know, you have the top, you have bottom, you have first, you have sides. Didn't know what a side was. That's a whole new
I have not even heard of that either. What is a side?
A side is, I believe, I may be butchering this. Let's put the definition in the description, but or in the notes. But I believe a side is someone that enjoys sex but not penetration. So they just don't enjoy penetration, if I'm correct.
Okay, I found. So I looked up. It's on Pride.com.
There we go.
So it says, according to Urban Dictionary, a side is a homosexual male who does not enjoy anal penetration, giving or receiving, but will engage in other forms of same-sex activity, fellatio, frottage, mutual masturbation, etc. I think it's, like, regardless of sexual orientation, too, like, there was a long period of time, like, I know we have personally talked a lot in-depth about this, too, but, like, I have 15 months celibate, and for a long time, I was considering like finding a play partner because I wanted to have intimacy and other sexual acts, like specifically like I love oral and foreplay and stuff like that, and I wanted that as the main event, but I was not interested in penetration at all, like not even remotely. And I think it's important to like normalize that, like it doesn't have to be penetration regardless of your sexual orientation.
Yeah, again, I think, you know, just having the language to, you know, kind of affirm who you are, who you think you are, your interests is really also empowering. Again, we don't have to label everything, but it does really fucking help to get that language and to have that language so you do you know, kind of have a compass in this way. You know, again, me saying that me, whatever I learned, whenever I got the language to find my identity, it was so empowering. And again, I can only imagine how it is for those who are, you know, transgender or those who are, you know, on different ends of the spectrum, because I mean, just my identity saying, yes, sexually fluid, homoerotic, cis, blonde haired, blue eyed, white guy, this is what I am. It's so empowering. It feels so great, right? Imagine that, you know, at a different level. Yeah, having language, not only for yourself, but also for others, is really important. And I think, you know, talking about it is how you get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. So what's your, I guess, vision for the app, and like, who do you see coming onto this platform, and like, how do you envision it being used, like, going forward?
Well, we want to onboard 7 billion people.
Every single head count.
No, because we're 18 plus. Okay, so how do I envision, what do I see as the vision for Moan? The vision for Moan is that we continue bringing on different communities. We continue having important discussions. We continue having fun discussions. But, you know, when we initially rolled out with the idea that if we provide a safe and inclusive place to talk about sex, that people would do just that. And we did that with a really basic MVP, which is a minimal viable product, which essentially was a social audio play, right? We provided a safe space, inclusive space to talk about sex. You can start a chat, you can join a chat, you can follow people, that's it. And since launching that, we've had a lot of success in terms of users, the right metrics, and also the right conversations and communities coming on board that has really informed the decisions we've made for new features, which are coming out in a couple of weeks. Or by the time you listen to this, it should be out. With that, it will be one, we're really excited to not only add new features to the live audio component so you can engage even if you don't want to speak, but also add our library to the app as well. So there is a library of content, not only audio content, podcasts, etc., but also erotica and other fun audio-based content. So again, I mean, our goal here is to really stick with our mission of safe and inclusive place to talk about sex, but also build a community around that and also provide the content around that that's really of interest to the community and also adds value, not only value, but also entertainment. So yeah, our vision for this is to be the leading, we're already the leading community for conversations on sex, but we want to be the leading media company for conversations on sex. So from programmed content to a really robust media library to ways to record rooms for users to be able to monetize on the app as well, for us to host like live streaming events across the world here. Like, there's a lot we can do and a lot we're going to do, but you know, it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of time, and also a lot of feedback. We have the capabilities to roll out features very quickly, which I'm very happy about, but as if they don't add value and they're not what the community wants or needs, we're not going to do it, right? So we get feedback from the community weekly. We ask them what they need. We look at what's happening on the app, but also, you know, elsewhere as well. Like, what can we do to improve this? How do we start this best? And again, it all comes back to the community. You know, this app would not exist if there wasn't already a need for it. And so we don't want to let down the community. We don't want to fuck it up. That's it. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fuck it up. We have something special. We're building an incredible community. We're building an incredible platform. So what we introduce, it's going to be at the right time. It's going to be the right features and for the right reasons. So yeah, the vision is really, really massive, really huge. We like, oh, the Spotify of sex, but with a live component and many other things. But yeah, I think it's really driven by the community. And because again, they're the ones who are making it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversations do you want to have on the app that aren't happening yet?
Yeah. I think, you know, for us, the conversations we want to have are really those that will move the community forward, but also culture forward. Really, that's the conversations we're looking for. Those not only that are entertainment based, those are education-based, those are value-based, but also those that are really at the forefront of the culture right now, you know, from reproductive rights to LGBTQIA rights to really everything. I mean, we want to cover anything that touches on sex. So sex is where we are here, but there's so many concentric circles, right? Or these like expanding opportunities from sex to relationships, to intimacy, to mental health, to wellness, and how they all relate back to sex, right? And you know, we don't have to tie everything to sex, but they are linked. And if we can talk about one thing, say mental health and how, you know, stressors and mental health can then cause erectile dysfunction, which then will impact your sex life, which then will impact your relationship. Those are all tied together. It's physical health, it's mental health, it's stressors, it's communication, it's sex, right? And so for us, while sex and straight up fucking is kind of at the core, that's the base, there's so much more we can talk about, and that's what we're getting to now as we grow the community, also as new features roll out, as these new creators come on as well, and as we launch new platforms. It will not just be, you know, conversation on sex, it will be everything related to sex in a sex positive lens.
And I love that sort of like reframe too, that it's like sex is at the center, but it's not all of the conversation too. I feel like that's part of why like I resonate so much with like you and this app and like your mission, because like that's something like I have a very similar mission too, is like I want to help be at the forefront of like revolutionizing sex education, but specifically holistic sex ed and educating around like the whole person. You know, sex is part of it, and it's a very important part, and that's left out of a lot of conversations. But yeah, there's so many other like nuances throughout. Like, we don't understand how, you know, medication or mental health or even your diet can impact your libido. Like there's so much that goes into it. We're not taught about like emotional regulation and how to know if you're in a healthy relational dynamic. Yeah. And stuff like that. It's like relationships and sex and self, like they're all interrelated.
So when we look at like, you know, when you look at like what's called sexual wellness is really kind of defined as, it's social wellness, it's sexual wellness, it's physical wellness, it's mental wellness, all that kind of tied together. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to limit ourselves to just like, you know, sex. Yes, sex is there, it's at the core, but when you expand out, there's so much we can talk on that sex touches, and it touches sex that can have a positive or really negative impact on it. And sex is so critical, I think, you know, to happiness. And I think it's all linked. We need to figure out how to talk about it. We need to figure out how to talk about it in a safe, supportive, and positive way. And if something is negative, great, let's figure out how to deal with that and talk about that. Right? I mean, like, we've had one user come on and talk about sexual assault. That is not sex positive, you know, but in terms of what she was doing, she was using this as a safe place to talk about her experience. And for that, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad that she knows she can come here, talk about that, find support from other people in this community who want to either just be a listening ear or just, you know, again, she came on here, talked about why she had disappeared for a couple of weeks from the app because she was a regular user. And then, you know, and then she told us what happened. And, you know, it was just really, really moving. And so, yeah, we have a lot of really fun conversations, but we also have a lot of very important, very deep conversations. It's not just all about like sex is fun. It's like, sex is great, but there's so many other things to sex too, and we need to have a place to talk about them.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm someone who's experienced sexual assault too. And I think that's great that she felt comfortable having that conversation and feeling safe. Cause I know like back when that happened to me, like I didn't have any space or community to have those conversations. And even though, yeah, like inherently maybe it's sex negative, but like it doesn't necessarily have to be. And it's like, if we're able to understand and unpack the trauma and not correlate like sex with trauma and like have those conversations around like consent and knowing that consent is not nuanced at all as much as society would like us to believe, like, you know, having these conversations is so important to like allowing us to be like well informed, well adjusted, like kind humans, compassionate humans for others.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it's also ensuring that you have the language, you also have the insight to know, like, what, you know, like, you know, what am I trying to say? It's that hearing other people's stories, their journeys, again, whether or not it is a super fun, sexy time, or if it's some wild kink that you don't identify with, or if it's, say, sexual assault or trauma, hearing from those people gives you new insight into your own sexuality, how to navigate it, and how to, one, be aware of it, how to reframe your thinking on certain things, you know, like how to reframe the way in which you engage in sex or in which you engage in your conversations. Or I think it's really important that there's, listen, I don't want to say that you need to have the super woke person to be on the app, but I think, or that's what you become by being on the app, but it opens your eyes to things that you don't have access to. And whether or not, you know, whether or not that's, again, hearing from a survivor story, or hearing someone who likes to do wild kinks, or hearing someone super vanilla looking for a relationship help, you know, I think what we're doing is great. And I think, you know, if you're part of the community, you do join the community, come in here with that insight that, like, you know, this is who we are and it's who the community is, and here's what you can add to it, you know, or take away from it. So yeah. And I went, like, from a super fun conversation to like that. But that's generally, like, that's also how Moan is, though. It's like there is that ebb and flow of conversations and energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
And there's a lot of value in those conversations too. And sometimes it's almost where we get the most value out of, like, those heavier conversations. Maybe they're not the most exciting or sexy, but, like, they still need to be had. And that's great that, you know, you're creating a space where the community has the ability to ebb and flow through all of the conversations.
Yeah. And again, in terms of new features, that's what we're really excited about too. These new features that will allow us to create kind of micro communities within this one large community of Moan. We want to create ways for communities to connect in a way to where they have a space on here, right? So there can be a group, essentially, for those who are into whatever their interest is there, you know, and then you can join those groups and find other people who have similar interests as you. And whether that is, again, you know, conversations on assaults or survivors, or if it's, like, you know, fisting, right? there's going to be a space for you. Not only will there be chats happening, but also there will be a group of people you can identify with, connect with, chat with, and share things with in a very sex positive, healthy, safe way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Is there anything else that you feel like is missing from this conversation? Anything else you'd like to share? I know we covered a lot.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, if I'm going to ensure that I get one thing in there, it's that, I don't want to sound too preachy or too whatever, but it really is a community effort, what we're doing. I just want to be a good steward of the conversation. I want to be someone who is part of this community, the sex positive community, the LGBTQIA community, the sexually fluid community. I'm part of so many communities, but I'm also part of this community of Moan. So I'm just, yeah, I think if I was to leave you with anything or anything that's missing, is that this would not be possible without the incredible people who are joining, like yourself, Catherine, like the other people, thousands of people that have already joined. These conversations wouldn't be possible without y'all. And so, you know, if you do decide to join and check out Moan, please come knowing that, like, you know, come kind, come curious, and come have fun. That's really it.
Oh yeah. Love that. Woohoo. Yay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Kale. It's been a pleasure. And I know we could talk for hours if we let it. Yeah, I feel like people should want to be a fly on the wall for most of our conversations.
Hey, count on Moan.
Yeah, so download Moan. For everyone listening, this too, I'm hosting weekly chats on Moan at 11 a.m. CST. Usually that's corresponding with whatever guests that I have on the podcast that week. So obviously this week will be Kale. So super excited. The app is available right now just for iPhone users, right? Android's but rolling out for Android
in about a week. Yay!
Okay, cool. Exciting.
We're hoping to have it up by Friday before our chat, but if not, it should be up hopefully the following week. Okay. But yeah, I think signed off.
All good. And so where can people find you and learn more and connect with you?
Yeah. So if you go to the website, www.themoanapp, that's T-H-E, Moan, M-O-N. Keep in mind, Moan is spelled M-O-N across all platforms. So it's themoanapp.com or Instagram, it's We Are Moan, or Twitter, themoanapp. And then also I'm on the app. I'm in the community. I do weekly chats as well about the updates coming and also just like fun things popping up in my life. I generally try to join most chats as well. And I'll probably follow you if you join, because I try to follow as many people as possible. Just let them know that I'm here. So yeah, you can either hit us up, you know, on social or on the app itself. You can find me there. My DMs are open. Or just
slide into those DMs.
Slide in those DMs, y'all. I'm there.
Slide in. It's slippery. Speaking of another kink, I really like those videos, those like massage videos with like that sticky, like,
oh, sounds so nice.
I really want a happy ending massage with like, can that sticky, like slippery,
like sticky ASMR. Like sticky,
yeah,
sticky.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Should we host a chat on Moan with the
yes.
Oh yes. Yes, Daddy.
They're like, what are they doing?
that's the beauty of it, because then you get to fantasize on what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. Like, are they masturbating or did they hurt themselves?
Yeah.
Or both. Who knows? There's also
kink and... Yeah. Pleasure and pain, baby.
There we go. More sure, CBT.
Oh, so good. So good. Well, thank you so much for joining. It's been such a pleasure. And yeah, feel free to check us out at yourpleasurepath.com/podcast. Every episode's released there every week. The podcast is available anywhere where you can listen to podcasts on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. And
soon to be Moan.
Yeah. Huh? And soon to be Moan. Yeah, I know. I've been ready.
It's coming. It's coming.
Daddy's right. Been waiting.
Yeah. But thank you again so much, Catherine. And I always love chatting with you. And thank you for having the platform and also this podcast. And yeah, anyone who's listened, thank you. And please join Moan and come say hi.